Welcome, believers. This is Lucha Lowdown. I am your host and El Jefe of this podcast, James Kincaid. With me tonight, as always, El Guapo Jeff Budd.
Hey, everybody.
Hey.
Hey.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well, man.
Excellent. We are going to be getting into the latest episode of Season 4 of Lucha Underground, which is entitled Pain, Love, and Sacrifice to the Gods. Overall, just your broad thoughts on this episode, Jeff.
I enjoyed some of the vignettes. The matches were pretty cool. I was bummed about a character possibly being killed and destroyed forever.
I thought of you too, Jeff. We'll get into that in short order.
But it was awesome at the same time, so I mean, I can't begrudge it too much.
Yeah, I think you know, when we discussed last week's episode, that was the best episode of the season so far. And while I don't think this one necessarily matched it, I think that it's sort of continuing that trend. Though I thought this was another strong season four episode, if for nothing else.
Again, like you said.
Yeah. And the vibe continued here, and we got some tribe lore in this one, which I don't know if we were discussing on the episode or just off air about the tribes again recently, because we intermittently do that just in our personal lives. But that's something about Lucha Underground that's always fascinated me, is the seven Aztec tribes. Who's in what tribe? What are they exactly? Because they haven't all even been, I think, officially named on the TV show and stuff like that. You know, because, I mean, there was the, what was it? Now it's the Reptile Tribe. It used to be known as the Snake Tribe and stuff like that. But I thought this was a good episode, and you mentioned the vignette, so let's start right there. We got, like, the extended recap of what happened with Three-Way to the Grave and Phoenix being taken by Katrina. So that's where we start, is with Katrina, and my God, it's just ridiculous. It's just absurd. Probably as absurd as ever. But we get her approaching Phoenix, and this was sort of a source of consternation for me, because she said that she loved him. I thought in the season she was talking about me this whole time. But I guess on camera we have now confirmed that she is in love with Phoenix, has been in love with Phoenix. And jokes aside, I actually do have some questions about that that I want to run by you. But we see her essentially give the kiss of death to Phoenix, which is the kiss of life for her. So she absorbs Phoenix's life force. She transforms from that that sort of leather-clad one-piece just delightfulness into that very old-school red dress, which, just on the face of that, I appreciate that, just because it does sort of speak to, like, the period that she's supposed to be coming from and, like, was born right into and everything like that. I just think that's such good flavor. I really enjoyed that. And it's big implications for what happens to Phoenix. She's feeling herself. So she then, like, goes to the locker room where Melissa Santos is, like, flipping through just selfies of her and Phoenix. No nudes, ladies and gentlemen. There are no nudes, believers, in her phones. Phoenix is a gentleman. So it just has a little luchador mask on it anyway. But Melissa Santos obviously grieving for the loss of Phoenix, and Katrina comes in gloating, saying that don't worry, that he died for somebody that, you know, truly loves her, which is him. And she then, what I think, big mistake, is giving Melissa Santos the half of the amulet. And that is sort of where we start Lucha Underground. What did you think about that?
Yeah, first off, man, Phoenix, he's beating them off with a stick. They all love Phoenix.
Phrasing!
Are we still doing phrasing? And, yeah, I think that was a big miss on Katrina's part. You gotta hold on to that stuff anyway, even if it doesn't necessarily have the same power that it did. I just, I already saw the wheels in Melissa's head turning. She's going to do something with it.
She's going to bring Phoenix back with it, right?
I figured that's how Phoenix is going to come back, but then I wonder if he'll use his Phoenix powers to then just get his actual life force back and then do the old switcheroo with Katrina or however it's going to go. We'll see. But yeah, that just was a big mistake on her part. I don't know what she was doing.
I think, that was a huge mistake. When the other half is out there, I mean, she's still an evil sorceress at the end of the day. She could still use that for something. I do feel
just in case something should happen to you.
You always got to hold your trump cards, you know?
Exactly.
It was not a smart move by Katrina. She's so full of life that she got stupid. You know, this is how we got into trouble in the first place, Katrina. You probably did something stupid in your past life. But I do think Melissa Santos is going to use the amulet to bring Phoenix back. I think we could see maybe kind of a darker, not necessarily evil, but almost like it just sort of an undead type Phoenix, though. You know, sometimes dead is better, but maybe he starts rocking black. Maybe even he is brothers in real life with Pentagon. I don't know if he'd go the sort of semi-skeletal route too with that, but I do think we're going to get some sort of altered Phoenix, which I'm actually kind of excited about. I think it'll be interesting, and I do consider him sort of the top babyface character in the temple with the exit of Prince Puma, the top sort of one that is absolutely a babyface. Pentagon, sort of that tweener anti-hero role.
Absolutely.
But so I'm very interested by that. We suspected, you know, since Katrina said it, that she's always been sort of in love with Phoenix, and so it wasn't that huge of a reveal for her to finally say that was him. She's always been fixated on him. I am interested that if the Phoenix sort of like almost like the Phantom has existed through multiple lives, and Katrina has been in love with, you know, sort of the previous iterations of him, and that's that maybe that's going to come into play in the flashbacks or something like that. Have they been sort of this yin and yang for, you know, more than one generation? I'm interested to see if they do anything sort of with that.
I gotta be honest, I didn't think about that, and no, I don't think that's going to happen.
I think it would be cool.
I'm not saying it wouldn't be cool. I don't see that being something that they end up doing. But you never know.
Yeah. But I thought it was a very cool vignette. I was surprised, actually, that they moved so quickly on it, like the follow-up. Usually we'd have to, like, wait a week or so to, you know, sort of let things settle out and everything like that. But no, Katrina has her life force back.
When she couldn't wait for Phoenix to just sit around and resurrect himself or something.
That's true.
You know, she had to strike while the iron was hot.
Yeah, which, yeah, exactly. So she has her life force back. We're going to see what implications that has. I mean, for me as a Katrina fan, I didn't want to see her get her life force back just because that means she's mortal and hence very vulnerable. So I don't want to see the character.
I thought she had to change out of that outfit.
I like both. So I'm a fan of both. I do think this is sort of building towards probably at Ultima Lucha, maybe a tag match, Phoenix and Melissa versus Katrina Mil Muertes, which I'm into that. That could be fun. So we'll see where that goes. But yeah, Katrina is back to life officially. I am interested. I do want to know if she still has any powers or anything like that, you know, because she still practices the dark arts. So hopefully she does.
Yeah, you would assume so.
Is she going to lose her grip on Mil? We don't know.
Maybe. That... What's Jeremiah Crane got to say about all this?
He's not interested anymore now that she's alive.
What if he's not? That was his fetish.
I can tell you, if Jeremiah and I are the same person, he's still very interested. I'll say that. Extremely. Just as interested. All right, that took us to our first match of the night, though, and that was Big Bad Steve with the beautiful Brenda taking on Jake Strong, formerly known as Jack Swagger. What did you think about this, Jeff?
Big Bad Steve stinks. I don't like him.
We are not sold yet on Big Bad Steve. I agree with you.
I feel like you can erase the yet. I don't see how I could become a fan of Big Bad Steve. Not that character, anyway. It's just there's nothing there for me.
And they haven't.
I don't even think you could turn him into another undercover cop and then get me excited. It's just not going to happen this time.
And they really haven't given him anything for us to be excited about. Like we were talking about when he debuted, that he would have fit in right alongside like Duke the Dumpster and the Goon, yeah, and stuff like that. Like the employee, the career gimmicks from the WWF 90s era and stuff like that. So this was, as I think we both suspected it would be, this was another squash match for Jake Strong to look exactly that, which is strong. And so that's what he did. They put over the fact that he broke Famous B's ankle and that he might have to have his leg amputated, though, which I thought was bizarre.
What country do you think this is?
Like, what is the state of medical health in Los Angeles?
Like, I mean, I understand that, you know, it's underground fighting, so you may not be able to just, like, drop him off at any hospital because maybe too many questions would be asked, but a broken ankle does not lead to amputated leg.
Well, yeah, that is,
like... Worst case scenario is he would just, you know, sort of be crippled and it wouldn't, like, heal right.
Yeah, also, broken ankle, like, yeah, I fell going down the stairs, you know? Like, I do just, you can go to any hospital. But in that case, it does sound like Famous B is in dire straits. I did call the number and leave him a message. I told him I hope Pentagon Dark breaks both his arms again. So his voicemail was very rude, though, so he deserved it.
Incredibly hostile. No reason for that.
Yeah, exactly. But Jake Strong.
Poor little Masquerita still getting called out.
Yeah, exactly. Needlessly.
Yeah. You fired him, or you quit from working for him. Like,
yeah.
And then you're the one who sought after him in the first place.
I'm a little bummed we haven't even seen Masquerita yet this season. Speaking of, but
yeah, there's some familiar faces we haven't seen yet, and it does make me sad, especially with Big Bad Steve running around.
Big Bad Steve with his second.
Big Bad Steve has had two matches this season. I haven't seen a few guys that I really like.
Two appearances for Big Bad Steve, who did get squashed. I would not be surprised if this is the last we see of Big Bad Steve, as Jake Strong did break his ankle, again, playing up Good. The sound effect of snapping his ankle. I still maintain that we're building towards like a Breaker of Bones match between him and Pentagon Dark, which I'm very into. I think they could have really a great match, which Pentagon would have to win. Because, I mean, Jake's kind of stealing his gimmick a little bit here.
Jake is strong, obviously, as his name would say, but we've also only seen him go against, like, weak guys, you know?
Yeah, he hasn't been tested yet.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, we don't even know if he could hold his own against Pentagon Dark.
Yeah, we'll see. But they do have big plans for Jake Strong. But, yeah, two appearances by Big Bad Steve. I mean, is the next we see Jake Strong, is he going to take out that, I don't even remember the other guy's name, Guerrera?
The other dude, yeah.
Yeah, maybe next. Wipe that lipstick off.
Why don't we feed Famous B's current roster to Matanza? Start getting these guys sacrificed to the
that's actually...
Do the gods even accept them?
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah.
So post-match, Jake Strong also, he did the gut wrench powerbomb to Big Bad Steve on the floor. All signs pointing to that Big Bad Steve might be going back to being a mechanic. That takes us to Antonio Cueto meeting with King Cuerno, and sort of grilling him about having the gauntlet. Cuerno says it was stolen. He doesn't know where it is. Liar. Basically, they start breaking down what they know about it that can turn, you know, a person wearing it into a god. Antonio is doubting the truth that Cuerno is telling about whether or not he knows where it is, and he's hoping to sort of win him over by getting a chance at an ancient Aztec medallion of his own tribe, which he pulls out of the bag is the skeletal bull. So I guess what we call that, the bull tribe, I guess.
Yeah, the bull or the steer, I didn't really know what they would call it. I love that sort of confirmation that King Cuerno is a part of that tribe. I assume Tejano is as well.
Yeah.
And, dude, Antonio's growing on me.
Dude, I was thinking the exact same thing when I was watching that, and I think it's because you can easily win me over by giving me some lore, and so by confirming that, yeah, Cuerno is in that tribe, and just sort of being so specific about it this season, I thought that was really cool, and yeah, he's starting to win me over as well. I think our issues do still persist. It's like, why not just cast a different actor? But the character himself is growing on me. And
yeah, the character's growing on me, and I don't find the voices abrasive or distracting anymore.
I think they toned it down a little bit.
I think they toned it down, too. They did a reverse Christian Bale.
Yeah.
They started out extreme, and they pushed it back.
I will say this, though. His eye in this vignette seemed fine, and yet when we see him later on, it was back to being that weird eye from Wayne's World 2.
Lighting, obviously. It's just the lighting.
I guess.
The lowercase J's.
Yeah. I guess. I don't know. But so later on...
Yeah, did you not see King Cuerno not looking at it?
Yeah.
Is there something weird about that weird eye of yours?
Is there something wrong with that weird eye? There's nothing wrong with it. It just has no pigment. So in this vignette, so it was going to be King Cuerno versus Chavo Guerrero for the medallion of King Cuerno's tribe, which again is awesome. Cage them.
I was going to say, I like the emphasis on tribe specific medallions, and that maybe members of that tribe would more or less want that medallion. I would kind of like something like that. I sort of want people to be the champions of their tribe now as they're going forth with the Gift of the Gods match. I know they're not exactly going to do that, and I don't even know who would be in which tribe, and then some people would obviously be left out, like Johnny Mundo or whatever, and that's not really fair, but I do want more emphasis on that. I need things to be a little more tribe-specific. I also wouldn't mind seeing the Rabbit Tribe again.
I completely agree with you on that, is that it should be an honor to be the avatar of your given tribe. So if you have the opportunity to do that, that would be something that you would want to do. And
that would make sense, because you're moving, whoever wins the Gift of the Gods match is then bestowed a gift by the gods to get a title shot. So each tribe would be invested in that, and yeah, would want to send their best.
Yeah. And so even in spite of that, you would have to have, like, if you wanted to be involved in the hunt for the Gift of the Gods, you would have to throw in your lot with a tribe. So, let's say Mundo, like, loses his feud to the Reptile Tribe, and they forced him to then have to be their, like, sort of representative and stuff like that. You know, not necessarily born into it, but you are on record of representing a particular tribe, and it, like, almost like a bracket. You know, so that if, you know, the multi-person match is for that they often have for these medallions, like, those are all people that are either repping or in their specific tribe. And if you lose that one, you don't get another shot. That was the tribe that you sort of threw in for. If you didn't qualify, you don't get it, kind of deal.
That would be cool.
Yeah, I like your idea a lot. I think that that would be something, as they, if Lucha Underground continues to move forward, to make a stronger emphasis on that. I think that would be awesome. But that being said, Cage did burst in the middle of this vignette and wants his title shot already. And I like Antonio talking about how impatient he is. we got some more tribe lore here, because then Antonio offered a chance to win a medallion against Mil Muertes, the medallion of Mil's tribe, which again is now confirmed. It's that Quetzalcoatl looking sort of like Death Tribe is what it's colloquially referred to as. So what did you think about all that?
I liked that Antonio said, just because you ambushed Pentagon Dark doesn't mean that you deserve a title shot. I feel that the Cuetos are better bookers of matches than we've seen in other federations and companies.
Agreed, completely.
Because I just feel like you pick a fight with the champion, you tend to get a championship match a week or two later. And it's like, no, they don't. You got to go through the proper channels. You actually have to earn it. And then Cage is hilarious to me because he is impatient, but at the same time, he seems very mellow to me. Like, he has no problem in King Cuerno because he lost the match to the Gauntlet, so it didn't really matter that Cuerno then stole the Gauntlet after, which Cage doesn't know that he doesn't still have it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, hey, man, that you stole that from Mil Muertes. You didn't steal that from me, so you and I, we have no beef. And then also, Cage hasn't really mentioned the Gauntlet, and then as soon as it was mentioned, then he flexes his arm, and I can understand he probably still has that itch a little bit. You know, I don't know
power.
If you ever fully separate yourself from it. But at the same time, it doesn't really seem to be on his mind as much anymore. It's not like he's this driven machine to go after it or anything. He'd rather just, you know, he's like, business as usual. I now want to be champion of Lucha Underground like I did before.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, and to be fair, I mean, this is the only second time we've seen Cage. So he showed up, and yeah, he didn't attack Mil Muertes, he didn't attack Cuerno, he attacked Pentagon, and then now he wants a title shot. So yeah, his interest changed. But
I we were talking about this too, that Cage is sort of becoming more of the villain. I don't mind Cage being either a heel or even just sort of a neutral body. I think that's how he works best anyway.
I agree.
And that he's just like a real bruiser and a fighter.
Yeah, you know, Cage would be, you know, you don't want him being sort of like the white meat baby face, you know, like I'm doing it for the fans and stuff like that. Like, he can be a good guy and be doing the right things, but it's, you know, he's a barbarian. You know, he's not going to be always the, even when he's a good guy, the most pleasant person. No, he's a barbarian. all right. From there, we got a very...
I wish the berserker was in the office. Actually, I'm the barbarian. He's a machine.
Well, no, and then you have the actual wrestler, the barbarian, who's actually like, no, I am the barbarian. All right.
I go by the barbarian.
We go from there to a very entertaining tag match. Taya and Johnny Mundo versus Daga and Cobra Moon. Jeff, what did you think about this? Because you texted me while you're watching.
Oh, well, I texted you, I think, what, the end of the match?
Which yes.
I thought was phenomenal. This was probably my favorite match of the night. Not to take anything away from the final match of the evening that was still good, but I think maybe just because of all the talent that was in the ring. It was good seeing Daga just like in a straight up match again. I liked him and Mundo against one another, and I feel like we're watching a transition of what's going on with Johnny Mundo and Slamtown, because I was wondering if what I predicted to happen actually was the reverse. I predicted that the Reptile Tribe would interfere during the match, and that Mundo's backup wouldn't come in until after they had already been outnumbered, as opposed to how things have normally been, where, you know, they constantly ambush their opponents in the ring. That's how they've won a lot of their matches in the past. I just figured that they were sort of changing who they were, but that didn't exactly happen yet. But at the same time, I didn't mind, because, you know, that's still sort of their personality. Another thing I saw in this match a lot was Mundo really does throw his allies under the bus.
Yeah.
Quite a bit. He uses everybody as a shield. Taya got the crap kicked out of her tonight. A lot of times at the expense, I mean, basically in place of Mundo. Either he dodged something or he had screwed something up. And I'm wondering if that's going to play into the story as the weeks go on. And then how things ended. Mundo made sure that he was safe, and then he sort of abandoned his allies
yes.
at the ring.
Yes. Yes, he did. So I thought this was a really fun match, too. I enjoyed, you know, how the chemistry with all of them working together and just furthering the feud and everything like that. You know, Mundo was taking a lot of the punishment, too, in terms of, like, the double teams and stuff like that, which Vampiro even noted on commentary that he thought that was interesting as opposed to Taya not getting double teamed.
Right.
But I liked the match layout quite a bit. This has been an interesting feud because Worldwide Underground has been so hated and the Reptile Tribe is also evil and stuff like that. But I the end, you mentioned the ending of this match. Well, take us through that, Jeff.
Well, yeah, you have Cobra Moon who's standing basically triumphant, and she's waiting to strike against either opponent. And then PJ Black, sneaks into the ring and just viciously kicks her in the back of the head,
and
which is such a horrible attack anyway, but when it's like a man on a woman, like, you just can't. It's just especially vicious,
the balls of it.
Yeah, I just, it's so blatant. Yeah, I think I texted you in 2018 to see that. I mean, Lucha Underground is special.
That
is true equality. There's no other way to look at it.
It gives no F's about.
It really doesn't.
Yeah.
And PJ Black is such a bastard. And I love him for it.
Dude, he's been so great in Lucha Underground. And so I'm so happy that he's still there. So yeah, PJ Black helped Taya secure the pinfall victory. But post match, they were not to win the war on this night, because Vibra showed up. He attacked all three of them. Is it Tyre?
Way more agile for a man his size than I thought he would have been.
Dude, he's been training his ass off, because I had no idea he had that in him.
Yeah.
At first, Taya charged at him, but she got caught in the goozle for the choke slam. And then did Mundo charge in next, or PJ? I don't remember, but Mundo was very hesitant. And
yeah, Mundo did not want to fight anymore. The match was over.
Yeah, exactly. But Vibra, he beat down all three of them and really showed off, just like you said, his athleticism. I mean, he was doing like a standing moonsault, cannonballs, all these crazy things that I didn't even know he could do. So what did you think about the whole, just the post-match stuff?
The post-match stuff is what was so great about it. I mean, I enjoyed a lot of the match, especially like when Daga dropkicked right into Mundo in the corner. But this was great because it really showed that Mundo is still somewhat of a dirtbag.
Yeah.
And I don't know, how do you inspire the loyalty of the Worldwide Underground when you leave them to that sort of fate, where the PJ Black and Tyre are both in the clutches of the reptiles.
Yeah.
And then And then Cobra Moon is, you know, calling, is basically lying on top of them and calling out Mundo, who's terrified outside of the ring.
Yeah, especially since we now have a on-screen kiss and confirmed on commentary that Mundo and Taya are romantically linked, which was funny in and of itself. But and then he's still just like, he's slithering away more than the reptiles are.
That's what I put in my notes. I put that Mundo is such a snake. He really does belong with the reptile tribe.
Maybe that's the medallion he'll get. I don't know. But yeah, it was totally fitting for what we've come to know of Johnny Mundo over the last four seasons of Lucha Underground, and it's going to further this feud so well. And like you said, perhaps splintering in it that will lead the Worldwide Underground to defeat and the Reptile Tribe to victory. We will see there, but I am looking forward to more matches between these two factions and just what's going to happen. Ricky was nowhere to be seen. Neither was Jack, which was something that I noted. So, Jeff, what's your fear there?
Well, I'm hoping that Jack hasn't been murdered or anything like that by Ricky.
I think it's entirely possible.
I'm just hoping that it's that he's scared of the reptiles. He's still creeped out by that, and that's something that he's going to have to be pulled into.
I'd love it if Mundo called him out for being a coward next time we see him.
Well, maybe he'll be like when Xavier was afraid of Bray Wyatt. You know, he's got to get over his reptile fear, and so he'll be Indiana Jones in it. He'll be freaked out in the ring.
I just would love the hypocrisy though if Mundo.
Well, I feel like Mundo will, and then I see Taya and PJ Black are going to be making faces or something.
Yeah,
they definitely have to be. If not in next week's episode, at least with just a vignette, not necessarily in the ring, the week after. I need some feedback because, yeah, Taya, since they did confirm that their characters are in a relationship, should be
pissed,
obviously upset and a little heartbroken there. And then PJ Black, who I always feel like if anybody was going to walk out on the team, I just felt like he had the attitude and everything for it. He's definitely got to be pissed because he's the one who came to help them and secured the win for them.
Yeah.
And then this is the gratitude he gets.
This is the thanks I get? The hell is the matter with you? I want Johnny Mundo in that ring. 5 minutes. but that's where we leave.
Yeah, the only one he probably could have gotten away with that with was Ricky of last year. Now Ricky, never mind, he's off the reservation. But
yeah, no,
I don't even know if I consider him a member of Worldwide Underground.
And that's Ricky's job, is to take those kind of beatings. You know, that's the intern's gig.
Exactly. He's the stunt double for Johnny Mundo.
Yeah, exactly. Oh man. So we'll leave Worldwide Underground and the Reptile Tribes feud right there. We then had Mr. Pectacular in the ring. I liked Matt Stryker very sarcastically talking about how he's not in any good shape. But
the gym.
Antonio Cueto shows up. Oh, first of all, we got a very quick thing before with Antonio meeting up with Matanza, who is beating the crap out of somebody or killing somebody in his little torture chamber there.
Yeah, he was doing something.
He was using them like a punching bag, like Rocky used like the meat.
Meat hanging on a hook. Yeah. It's just a human body.
Yeah, that was very upsetting. And we don't know who that is, if we'll ever know who that is.
If it's anybody,
maybe
yeah.
It's Big Rick. I don't know. everything ties back to Big Rick. He's the mastermind behind all of this.
Dude, when they finally reveal that in season 5, forget about it.
Yeah. But then we go to Mr. Pectacular in the ring. He's getting his pose down on and everything like that. Antonio shows up and says that this is going to be a sacrifice to the gods match, and that he's the sacrifice and Matanza is the god. I immediately thought of you because you had more background on who Mr. Pectacular was than I did, and you were sort of excited for his inclusion in Lucha Underground.
He's a funny guy. It's a shame.
I immediately was like, well, this will probably be his last appearance on Lucha Underground.
That's what I thought.
Just like immediately.
Because
like,
you can't have the first sacrifice to the gods match not have a sacrifice.
And yeah, and also not just be a complete squash. I actually think he got off kind of easy, to be honest with you, because it just was over so quickly as opposed to how brutally. But it was a complete squash match. And I was thinking they should have done something where they could have had some blood in the ring or something like that. Some type of, in a vignette, dragging him to the back and ripping his arms off or something. But he beats him down Wrath of the Gods. He puts him on the Aztec seal. Lights go out. Lights come up. He's gone. Rest in peace, Mr. Pectacular. What did you think of the sacrifice of the gods?
I mean, as heartbroken as I am to see Jesse gone, I gotta admit, it was pretty cool.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty cool, too, and I almost wish they had started doing this, like, sooner. But
I think it works as far as with the story, because now Antonio's with Matanza and is sort of utilizing him more as a weapon, and now
that's
he
a good
can
point.
Start doing things like this. So, I mean, I think the transition's all right. And then also, I mean, you can't do it too soon, because otherwise, you know, who would we be feeding him? It's
yeah.
Just like a bunch of jobbers and things like that, at least with Mr. Pectacular. Before this match, I assumed he was going to do more, you know, so, I mean, it was kind of cool to have him go against somebody like that.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see who else gets sacrificed in the future.
Yeah, maybe Big Bad Steve. Maybe.
Those are the kind of guys that I think should be sacrificed. But who knows? Oh, wait until he goes against somebody, in, you know, that we consider important.
Well,
that'd
and
be
see,
really interesting.
That's the beauty of this kind of match, though, is that let's say somebody, you know, like I know Jack Evans put out on his Twitter that he was going to part ways with Lucha Underground or what have you. He's obviously in this season. Maybe he's somebody that they sacrifice, or an Angelico, or somebody actually like super important just because of scheduling. You know, they're going to use to a different ends here, which will suck, but at the same time, it'll put over the sacrifice to the gods.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and it's exciting to think about. I think it's a cool concept. And one thing I really love about Lucha Underground is they have so many awesome theme matches. And this is another one. It's not that it really changes like the look or feel of a match, but the outcome is awesome.
It reminded me of the Brood Bloodbath a little bit when they used to do that in WWF.
I used to love that.
But I do appreciate Lucha Underground's willingness to just straight up kill off characters. You know? Yeah. And that's
if
something
it serves the narrative.
That's something I'd never seen before, really. So, and I mean why would we? But it really serves their ends here, which is just very cool. That took us to our main.
Oh, no, Vince McMahon almost got murdered.
He did. His limo blew up.
Explode.
Yeah, but they had to call an audible on that one afterward. But yeah, you're right.
Things got real in real life.
Yeah, things got weird. Before we get on with the rest of our episode review here, we do want to tell you, the believers, that we so much appreciate your support and listening. Please, if you haven't already, though, subscribe to us on Audioboom and iTunes. Rate and review us on iTunes is the best thing you can do for us, other than just straight up telling your friends and making them download and listen. We certainly do appreciate it. Word of mouth and those reviews is the best way to get the word out about us. We love interacting with y'all. When I can watch live, I'll be live tweeting episodes at James Kincaid on Twitter. You can follow me on there. Email us luchalowdown@gmail.com if you want to opine or have any suggestions, questions for us. We love interacting with you. But yeah, and you can also follow us at luchalowdown on Twitter. I've been using my personal one a bit more lately, though, just because I'm not a big Twitter person, so having to multitask between accounts is something of a chore for me. But go ahead and give both a follow. But we really appreciate you all, believers. Thank you so much. And now on with the rest of the episode. That takes us to the main event, King Cuerno versus Chavo Guerrero for one of the ancient Aztec medallions. I thought this was a really good match. I love seeing King Cuerno just back doing his thing in the temple and having matches. He's one of my favorites to watch. They did, again, a wonderful job of putting over Chavo Guerrero, who I really feel like everywhere else he's been sort of treated like, just like sort of like a... in the shadow of Eddie and stuff like that. Of course, Eddie's a legend and everything like that, but they really let Chavo be a legend in his own right in Lucha Underground, which I think is cool. Obviously not a legend like Rey Mysterio, that's an upstanding one, but just that he is this sort of, I mean, his place in Lucha Libre, his family, and yet he's still this SOB. So I really enjoyed that. What did you think of the match?
I think that's a good point you made about Chavo Guerrero, because he does get a lot of respect in this storyline, and at the same time is still able to be, you know, that kind of heel that he is. You know, he's sinister, he's underhanded, and it all works out perfectly. But yeah, he gets the respect that he deserves. I thought the match was great, and of course I like King Cuerno as well. The outcome is what made me most excited, because not only has King Cuerno come back, but he's come back big. And it just shows how relevant he is this season.
Dude, yeah, this could be finally, as we harken back to sort of our luchadors to watch and, like, burst out. Finally! my guy King Cuerno might be bursting
well, when
the
you
bubble
put him
here.
On that list, was he dead yet at that point? It seems so long ago now that we made.
I don't think so.
Okay.
But
well,
you
go up against Mil Mortis too much. I mean, something bad's gonna happen.
Yeah.
You. But since he's been back, he's been doing great.
Yeah. You lose your pants, you grow your hair out, though. Everything will be all right. So that's all. But I mean,
I gotta be honest though, I miss the pants.
I do too. I like.
I'm not a huge fan of seeing the hair. I like it when you got a mask. You know nothing about what the person looks like. But that's just me.
I agree with that. If I had a preference, like the classic Cuerno look. I also miss the headdress and stuff, like the ring attire.
His whole style of coming down to the ring. That was really cool.
I always thought that was really cool. One of the things I'll always remember about King Cuerno is when he like tied Drago to the turnbuckle and everything after he beat him. I love the whole hunter aspect of King Cuerno, but his moveset.
He was after Phoenix at one time. He used to go after some pretty high prey. You know, it's like, I kind of miss some of that. I hope that he does something like that again in the future.
I think in the very least, this is going to be a very King Cuerno heavy season, given what we saw from the trailer, his involvement with the Gauntlet of the Gods, giving it to Aerostar, we assume. I think he's going to factor in big, which has me excited because...
Yeah, that's another thing I didn't mention in the vignette is, boy, how strong is Cuerno's willpower? He wore the Gauntlet.
Yeah.
And willingly gave it up. For the greater good of all the tribes.
It's the hunter, man. Yeah, exactly. That's why he's decidedly like not evil. He is just very much his own entity.
Dude, he's so Kraven the Hunter is what he is.
Yeah, which is great. And I'd be interested if he
did
if...
the same face turn as Kraven.
Yeah. I wonder if they sort of if there was any influence there with it. But his moveset, we've talked about it multiple times. Like the arrow from the depths of hell is one of the coolest just sort of like suicide dive topes that you'll see. And he does it so perfectly every time. Thrill of the hunt.
Gorgeous. And that's an awesome name. And it fits so well with his character.
And just the theatrics leading up to it too. I mean, yeah. It's just great. His finisher Thrill of the Hunt is awesome. So he got the much deserved victory over Chavo Guerrero here. I saw some people online speculating if this was going to be Chavo's last appearance in the temple. I don't know why that would be. Cause it seems like the ban has been lifted and it's not like he got killed.
It seems so random then if that was his last appearance.
Yeah, agreed. And it's
like,
not
why
like
bring him back just to do that.
I could see Chavo getting sacrificed to the gods though.
That would be cool.
See, a Guerrero, a member of the Guerrero family would be a delectable morsel for the gods, I feel.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that would be a high get.
Yeah, that's
such a cool way for his character to go out if they decide to do something like that.
Agreed. So, but King Cuerno now has a Aztec medallion. Dragon Azteca Jr. has the other one. So there's two of the seven that have been accounted for now.
Do you know which one Azteca has?
I think it was from his tribe.
Okay, I like how this is syncing up. And if Mil Mortis beats Cage,
he'll have his.
Which I have a feeling Mil Mortis will.
Yeah, I think
so
too.
Yeah, I mean, you know why I feel Pentagon Dark will exact some revenge.
Yep, and that'll...
And that is how Cage will lose.
Yeah, I agree with you there. And so, yeah, I do. You're right. It is sort of aligning where it's going to be all the right people having their medallions. And how fitting if this is the last sort of gift of the gods that we're going to get. So.
Well, how awesome if all seven of them go against whoever's wearing the gauntlet, like Matanza or something like that.
Yeah, which I do think is what's going to happen with that. So we haven't seen Aerostar yet, correct?
No, he's just been because we don't know how long it takes. You would think if it takes him, it would take him no time to travel through time because he could just reappear the split second that he left. But yeah, I feel that he's hiding the gauntlet wherever.
Yeah.
And whenever.
Well, I'm looking forward to when he makes his appearance. But overall, I thought this was another solid episode of Lucha Underground Season 4 here. Just starting to click more and feel more like the temple of old and everything like that. I am interested still, like you said, Antonio's growing on you. He's growing on me, too. I do want to see Dario back, though. You know, it's still, just miss Dario.
Nobody will ever replace Dario.
Do you still think we're going to get that?
Yeah, man, we have to.
Like, how long do you see this being the Antonio show, though?
Whole season.
Okay, so you think Antonio's here the whole season, but we get Dario back at the end?
Or maybe not the whole season. What? Antonio's story will end this season, either the season finale or prior to that.
Okay, got it.
And maybe we'll have some vignettes where he and Dario come face to face.
Yeah, that is the one thing, unfortunately, because they can't come face to face in the ring.
Yes, but the good thing about Lucha Underground is they do so great with the storytelling and everything like that. Maybe they'll have some sort of confrontation in the office, and Dario will have something set up, and that'll be Antonio's end. We'll see.
Yeah, but overall, this was another very strong vignette episode, really laying the groundwork for, I feel like, some big, big stories that are going to start to take shape more. The Matanza stuff is very interesting. Again, what's going on with Katrina, King Cuero, like we've been talking about, and just with Aerostar yet to show up. So it's everything is starting to click here, I feel like, in season four, in spite of maybe some of the newer characters not being either around anymore or being maybe around too much, Big Bad Steve. So, you know, so you got to take the good with the bad. But overall, another very good episode, and we're looking forward to the next one. But that is going to do it for us this week here at Lucha Lowdown. For Jeff Budd, I'm James Kincaid. Good night, everybody.